reading today is found in the 41st chapter of the book of Genesis. We were speaking to you last week how that the baker and the butler were brought out of prison, brought into Pharaoh's place, into his palace, and how that it was his birthday, and how that he gave judgment upon the baker and the butler. And the baker, he was hanged, but the butler, he was restored unto his butlership. And this butler we read of, the chief butler, he forgot Joseph. This man, the butler, he had every reason to be thankful for being brought out of prison, every reason to be thankful to God that his life was spared, that it was not taken. But we do not read of any gratitude or any thankfulness that he showed unto God. He had many reasons to be thankful unto Joseph, for Joseph had treated him very kindly, had given unto him the interpretation of his dream, and it had come out just as Joseph had interpreted to him. But the scripture says, and the chief butler forgot Joseph. This was base ingratitude and selfishness on the part of this butler. Oh, when we consider this butler, we would say, how could he forget Joseph? But he did. We may say also it probably was God that caused him to forget him, because it was not God's time to bring Joseph out of prison. For had he probably spoken unto Pharaoh concerning Joseph, he probably would have been brought out. But God had the time in his hands when Joseph was to be delivered out of this prison. This man, the butler, he then was a man that showed no gratitude at all. He forgot Joseph. Thinking of that, how many times haven't you and I likewise been given to experience the hand of God in our life? Some of us, we have been sick nigh unto death, and God has restored us back to health and strength again. Some of us have had children that were very sick, and it did not look like they were going to live, but the Lord spared them. He raised them up again. Some of us have went through a depression. We lost our employment. We became poor. We even probably received from the government enough to continue to live. And we had many troubles, many problems, but out of them all, the Lord delivered us. And what have we requited God for all the goodness and mercies that he has shown unto us? Oh, base ingratitude towards our heavenly benefactor. Some of us have been, by the grace of God, stopped in the way that we were going. God showed mercy, showed grace to us, shed his love abroad in our hearts, gave us to believe that he had a favor towards us. And in these times when this took place, we were very much attached to God, and we lived very close to God. But as time went on, we likewise have left our heavenly friend. We have backslidden from him. The world, the flesh, sin, the devil have got the upper hand at times over us. And we have lost that communion and that fellowship with God. We have brought our souls into a barren state. We live in a dry and a thirsty land. Oh, this is where we bring ourselves. But God never forgets his people. He is ever mindful of them. He remembers that we are dust, and he is very good to his people. Oh, we are such ungrateful creatures towards God, and this we must complain of. We will not complain about the butler. Let us complain about ourselves. And so we find in the first verse of the chapter that after 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed, and he was standing by the riverside. 2 years. Joseph, he had such great expectations that by this butler he would be delivered. This butler had been asked by Joseph to speak to Pharaoh about him and tell him that he was in prison unjustly, and that he was out of the land of the Hebrews, and that it was not right that he should remain in this prison. He asked this butler to speak a word to Pharaoh for him, but the butler forgot him. And now we find this Pharaoh, he dreams a dream. But it's 2 years back that this happened with the butler and the baker. I could imagine Joseph, the first few days after the butler was set back in his office, or he probably was looking at the door to see if somebody wasn't coming to open the door for him so that he would be brought out of prison. But no, nobody came. There he was in the prison, and now 2 long years he had to be in that prison yet, a long time. Probably he had been praying to God because he had been brought away from the help of man, and he resorted to God that God would deliver him. God knew that he was here unjustly, that he had not done anything that had caused him to be put in prison. Wouldn't God deliver him? But no, he sighed and cried, but 2 years have gone by. Is he not a type of the people of God? Are not the children of God in a prison? Have they not been given to see that they are in a pit, in the miry clay, that they cannot deliver themselves out of this prison in which they are in? Are they not tied down with the chains of their sins and of their guilt? And do they not cry like Joseph to be delivered out of this prison? And oh, how many years have some of us been praying like this, looking forward that we might be delivered, and we have not yet been delivered. Sometimes we are receiving a little encouragement like Joseph did. He was encouraged by the butler and he thought he would be brought out. So you probably have received something under the means of grace, under the reading of the word, and you've been encouraged that you will be delivered, but thus far you have not yet been delivered. Oh, dear soul, when we start to think about what that would be if we were delivered, or when we think of finding peace with God, having our sins forgiven, being given to believe in Jesus, and all to know that this God is our God and that he will lead us even unto death, oh, we begin in our meditations, oh, we begin to long and to desire that this day would come. And now the longing soul that turns to him, he fully satisfies in his own time and in his own way. Oh, there is a day coming, poor soul, and I hope for myself too, that we will be delivered. God is a faithful God. He who began this good work in us will never forsake or leave the work of his hands, and he will keep his promise. What he has spoken to us in encouragement, he most certainly will fulfill. Oh, dear soul, what a happy day that will be, right? If you are brought out and be given to believe that God is your Father, that Jesus is your Savior, that the Holy Spirit is your Comforter, that you have a triune God as your portion. Oh, how rich you will be, and how joyful and how happy you will be when this takes place. This may take place on your deathbed. We know not. God's time is the best time. So it was for Joseph. 2 long years he's looking, sighing, crying to be brought out, but no. But now something happens. This Pharaoh, the king, he dreams, and he was standing by the riverside. This river is the only river that runs through the land of Egypt. It's the River Nile. Upon this river, the whole wealth and political situation of Egypt rests. This river, when in the springtime of the year it overflows its banks, then the whole country, by the time summer has come, looks like a sea of water. And gradually, as autumn approaches, the waters start to abate and they return to their own channel. And now, when this water abates, there is left over the ground in Egypt a black, thick mud filled with manure. This black, thick mud they cannot use. They take it and they mix it with sand. And then they begin to sow the ground with this. Now, when the river only rises 12 cubits, this is insufficient. It doesn't overflow all the land, and it does not yield enough so that they would have something to eat. There is a famine. When it comes up to 14 or 15, why then it's generally pretty good for the Egyptians. But when it rises to 16, then they have all the luxuries of life. Then they have nothing to worry about. Then they are provided for. But if it should rise 18 cubits, then also it takes that much longer for these waters to run off. And by the time they have run off, the time to sow and to seed is gone by, and they have a famine. So if it is not enough, or if it is too much, it's no good. It just has to be a certain amount. And now it is God that controls the flowing of this river. The waters come from the land of Abyssinia, where every day they have showers. And these showers cause the waters to come down into the Nile, and the Nile every year overflows its banks. Wonderful. How dependent this country was upon this river. So this actually was their god, the river. And now this king, he had a dream, and he was standing by this riverside. And in his dream, he saw 7 well-favored, fat-fleshed kine come up out of the river and fed in the meadow. These kine are of the buffalo type. These kine stay in the river. Most every day they're in the river. The only thing that they have is their nostrils up above the water. Because of the terrific heat and because of the many insects that are in this country, this is the way these animals stay out of all the heat and out of the way of all these insects. And for the traveler to go down into the land of Egypt, and when he sees these cows coming up out of the river, he's reminded of what we read here. Anciently it was so, and it's still so. The king then saw in his dream these fat-fleshed, well-favored kine come up and feed in a meadow. They fed alongside of the edge of the river where there were reeds and slushes. And now he saw other kine come up, 7 other kine, ill-favored and lean flesh. They came up out of the river, and they stood by the well-favored and fat-fleshed kine, and they ate these kine. And when they had eaten them, as he tells Joseph later, they didn't look any better from what they had eaten even. They still were ill-favored and thin-fleshed kine. And when he had dreamt this, he awoke. And then he fell asleep and he had another dream. And in this dream he saw a stalk growing up with seven ears of corn, rank and good, beautiful ears of corn on this stalk. And right after that, there came up another stalk. And they were so withered, they looked like the east wind had hit them, and they were very thin. And now these corn, they ate up the rank and good corn. And he awoke. This was his dream. I know you and I have had dreams many times. And then dreams that we have, sometimes we wouldn't tell to people. Sometimes they're so foolish and they're so mixed up that we can't even put them together, and it's better not to say anything about them. It's just like foolish talk, we shouldn't do that. So with foolish dreams. But these dreams, they were given unto this king by God. When he awoke, he was troubled in his spirit. They weren't just fancies of his mind, no. It was God that gave him these dreams. And now down in the land of Egypt, their religion was mostly paganism. They were known for their wisdom and for their intelligence in the land of Egypt years and years ago. And now they knew nothing about the true and the living God. And these priests that studied, they had sacred writings that they went to, and they were given the names of being masters. They called them magicians. They called them soothsayers. They called them wise men. They had a name of interpreting dreams. So Pharaoh, when he had these two dreams, he did not resort to God to find out what the meaning of these dreams was. He didn't know God. So he called in all the magicians and all the wise men in the land of Egypt. And when they came in, he told them his dreams. But none of those magicians or those wise men could explain or give him an interpretation of the meaning of his dreams. Their art, their wisdom was baffled. They didn't understand it. This was God. God brought the wisdom of the wise to naught. He made it foolishness, as the word teaches us. And so they never even gave Pharaoh an answer or attempted to give him an answer. And now Pharaoh, of course, he didn't know who to resort to anymore. But we find that the butler who had been in prison with Joseph, immediately it flashes into his mind how that 2 years ago he had been in prison, and that he and the baker had a dream. And he remembered how that this Hebrew youth interpreted the dream, and how that likewise what he had said was true. He had been restored to his butlership, but the baker, he had been hanged. Oh, I think that this butler, he had every reason again to be thankful unto God that he was still living. It was 2 years ago already. He had forgot Joseph, but he also forgot God, who rules over everything, and who had likewise spared his life. Oh, ingratitude on the part of this butler. But he remembered that day his faults, he says to the king. What were those faults? The one fault was that he forgot Joseph. The other faults were that he had sinned against Pharaoh. And for his sins, he had been placed in prison, and he remembered what he had done. But Pharaoh had forgiven him and had restored him back into his position. He remembered his faults. I wonder if you have had something like that in your life. Don't say you don't have any faults, for we all have them. But have you ever had it in your life that you have done someone wrong, And you just passed over it and you let it go. But there came a day that you were reminded of what you had done to this person. It's a blessing if immediately it takes place and we find that it's our fault, that we may go to the person and say, please, it's my fault. Won't you forgive me? That's the proper way. Not to go over the top of it and forget it and leave it be. No. But even though we haven't done this at first, the second best thing is when it is brought up again to our minds to do our duty. This butler, he remembered his faults. Have you ever been given to remember your faults? Have you ever got down on your knees and confessed to this God in heaven above how faulty you was, that you had done somebody wrong, that you never should have done that to that person? Have you got up from your knees and went to that person? Have you confessed it to him and asked him for forgiveness? That's proper, my hearers. Oh, it's a blessing to be the least. This remembering our faults is, it's sometimes an act of God. It's a mercy if we may remember how we have sinned against him. David says, I remember the sins of my youth. Do you remember them? Have you ever any trouble with them? Do they come up before you in your mind? Does it bring you down in your guilt? Do you cry out of the depths to this great God against whom you have sinned? What a mercy of God has brought you there, my hearers. This butler, he begins to tell Pharaoh how that Pharaoh had been wroth with his servants, and he had put him and the baker into the prison where the guard was that took care of these principal prisoners that were put there by the king. It wasn't a common prison. And he says, we were in this prison, and I and the baker, we both had a dream the same night. And he says, there was with us in this prison a young Hebrew. And he says, we told him our dream, and he interpreted our dream for us. And the way he interpreted, just so it came out. Me, I was restored back to my position, but the baker, he was hanged. This now was the man that the butler spoke about to the king. He was the man that the butler believed would be able to interpret the king's dream. And immediately Pharaoh, he sent in all haste to the prison to bring Joseph to Pharaoh. Oh, my dear hearers, God's ways are so wonderful, and he's such a surprising God. I hope that he may bring us out of prison who are in prison spiritually in such a way as Joseph was brought out, so unexpectedly, so surprisingly, without him even knowing it, there comes somebody and he had to come out. And he had to come before the king. And the king was in haste, but for decency's sake, he shaved himself and he put on other clothes. The Hebrews, they had no custom of shaving themselves, but the Egyptians, they shaved themselves every day. And now, he was brought out of the prison to Pharaoh. How wonderful, my hearers. What a surprise this must have been to Joseph. What a surprise it'll be to any soul that feels itself in prison and God brings it out by his word, by his spirit, and brings it into that glorious liberty of the children of God. Joseph had to come before Pharaoh. Probably he didn't even know why he had to come there. He didn't know what he was needed for. But God would supply Joseph with what was necessary. And when he came before Pharaoh, Pharaoh spoke to him and said unto him, I have heard that you can interpret dreams. And Joseph says, it is not an I, he says, but God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I admire that. This man Joseph, he had so much faith in God, that he immediately directed Pharaoh away from all the magicians, away from all the liars, to the God he worshiped, that God would give him an answer of faith. This was faith on the part of Joseph, to believe that God would speak to this king. And now he begins to tell Joseph his dream about the 7 well-favored kine and the 7 ill-favored kine, and of the 7 good rank and full corn that came up on one stalk, and the 7 withered and wind blasted by the east wind corn, very thin. And he says, I told this to the magicians, but they couldn't give me no answer. It was as if he said, now, all these men, they couldn't tell me. You think you can? Joseph looked at him and said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I admired Joseph. Why? Because he honored his God. God would give an answer of peace. And those that honor me, God says, I will honor. Have you ever been given to honor him in your life? Honor him against so much opposition that came up against him? What a blessing, my hearers. He surely will honor that person too. Joseph spake to the honor and to the glory of God. And now Joseph, he was given to hear the dream. And he heard the dream and he says to him, the 2 dreams are one. The 7 fat fleshed kine and the 7 rank and full ears are one. One dream. They are 7 years. And the 7 thin fleshed, these kind that look so sickly and so weak, and the thin corns are also 7 years, which will be 7 years of famine. He says, God has spoken unto Pharaoh and given him to know what is to come. And Joseph begins to tell him and gives him good advice what he should do. He said there would be 7 years, and there would be so much, there would be so plentiful those years. But after these 7 years, there would be 7 years of famine. And after this famine had come, they would forget those 7 good years. All what they had in those 7 years would be forgotten, because this famine would be so sore. There would be hardly anything left of those 7 good years. This was then the prediction and the interpretation of the dream that Pharaoh had. And Pharaoh listened to this man. And he saw in this man that it was not Joseph. He had said, it is not I, he says, but it is God that will give answer to Pharaoh. You know, I think Joseph experienced, just like the apostles experienced, when the Spirit of God came down upon the apostles, you read so distinctly, and they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. So with Joseph, you don't read that he went alone, that he got on his knees, that he entreated God to find out what the meaning of this dream was. God gave it to him. God was his mouthpiece. He spake to the king. It was not Joseph, it was God that was relating to this king what he was going to do. He was letting him know beforehand. And now Joseph, he gives this king good advice. And he tells him that in those 7 years of plenty, that he should appoint a man over the land of Egypt, and that he should have officers, and that they should gather all of the corn, the 5th part of it, and put it away and store it for those years to come when they wouldn't have any. He said that he should seek out a wise and a discreet man and put him over this work and see that it is done. Pharaoh, he was so elated inwardly, so true it was what this young man told him, that he doubted it not. He believed it with his heart that that was going to take place. And he believed it that it was God that was speaking through this young man. And he turns around to his servants and he says, can we find a man like this that has the Spirit of God? Can we? Today, can we find a man that has the Spirit of God? What a question, my hearers. Examine yourselves. If we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. We may be fluent with our tongues. We may live a moral and a decent life. We may know much about the Bible and study it and teach others and still be without the Spirit of Christ. And still we do not know Him. We are none of His. Oh, a serious question, my hearers. Have you the Spirit of Christ? Oh, when this Spirit comes into the heart of such a person whom God has chosen from all eternity, He has promised that He will put His Spirit in them and He will cause them to walk in His ways and keep His statutes and His judgments. Such a person will find, likewise, such a conviction of sin as they never had before. So deep is their conviction of sin that there is no hope, there is no deliverance for them from their sins. But the Spirit brings before them this precious Christ, that in Him there is forgiveness for the greatest of sinners. Oh, what a necessity Christ becomes for such a person. The Spirit exalts Christ. The Spirit brings of the Word into the hearts of such. And they are given to believe that Christ has a favor towards them. Oh, what a precious thing. What a blessing if the Spirit of God has come down into your heart and made it its temple, its residence. It's a sign, it's a token that you are one of God's children and that God will never leave you, never forsake you. He will never withdraw His Spirit from His church, from His people. Can we find such a man in this time in which we are living, where the Spirit of God is in? Oh, they're rare, my hearers. They're scarce, very scarce today. Joseph was a man that had this Spirit, and the king was so sure of it, that's why he spoke this way. And now if a heathen king, a Gentile king, seen this in Joseph, how much more should not you and I see it in those with whom we associate with, in those with whom we live? Your father, your mother, one of your children, if that Spirit has come down into them, it will be noticeable in their lives, in their conversation, in everything that they do. It was noticeable in Joseph. And therefore, he, the king, said, thou art wise and discreet, for God has shown thee unto us these things that are to come. And he took this Joseph and he exalted him. Oh, he had been in the morning in the prison. He probably had shackles on his feet, because that's the way they did in prison. He was loosed from his shackles and he came before Pharaoh, and before the evening came, he was the second ruler in Egypt. Oh, God, through Pharaoh, exalted Joseph's soul. Pharaoh, he likewise took the ring off his finger and put it on Joseph. He made him the second ruler in Egypt, the prime minister. He placed him in that position that Joseph had said he should put somebody. And he said, my people shall be ruled by thee. Only I will be greater than thou in the throne. How he exalted this Joseph. Oh, what a wonder this must have been to Joseph. How good God was to him. He must have remembered his dreams that he had had when he was back with his father and with his brethren, and how that he had seen in his dreams how that his brethren, his father and his mother, would come and bow down before him. And now he is exalted. He gave him the second chariot, and he was carried through the land of Egypt, and the people were commanded to bow before him and to acknowledge him as the second ruler, just as if he was Pharaoh. So was this Joseph exalted by this God who he loved, who he served, who he worshiped. He is a type, Joseph, of Christ Jesus, who God has exalted and brought into the heaven of heavens, who likewise rules and reigns in the kingdom of the world here below, and especially in the kingdom of grace in his church. And he likewise has the control of all the stores of grace that are in heaven above, and he is the one that distributes them to those whom God hath given unto him. Joseph, a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonder this must have been to Joseph. But there is a time coming when God will likewise liberate those people who likewise have experienced in this life that they are in prison. He will set them into liberty, and he will lift them up into heaven above to be at his right hand, where they will glorify him forever and ever for the grace that they have experienced here below. And Joseph then, he immediately sets out to perform those advices that he had given unto Pharaoh. He rode throughout all the land of Egypt. A man took the chariot and took the horses and led them and commanded the people to bow before him. Oh, this was something wonderful for him to experience, I think. And he took good notice of the land of Egypt and went through all the cities. And we find that before this famine came, 2 years before the famine, that God likewise began to raise a family for Joseph. For this king, he gave unto him the daughter of a priest that was in the city of On, Asenath. And he had 2 sons by this woman. One he called Manasseh, the other one he called Ephraim. God started to multiply his family. And he gave the one name Manasseh because he says, God has given me to forget my father's house and has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. These two were tribes afterwards of the tribes of Israel. Joseph then, he started to gather all the corn that was in the land of Egypt. How they did this, the scripture doesn't say, or whether they insisted on those that grew this corn to give a certain amount and use that as tax for them, or whether they sold the corn to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh paid for it. And when there came this famine and there was a scarcity of it, then he likewise sold it for a good price, and Pharaoh became very rich in this respect. This was the advice that Joseph had given him. And Joseph, he made storehouses throughout all the land of Egypt. Every city he went to outside of the city, there were these fields of corn, and he would gather this corn and put it in storehouses. According to the commentary, they kept the corn in the ground. They digged holes in the ground and put the corn there so it would keep better. But the Bible says storehouses. For me and you, we would think they were buildings. They were granaries that they built to put this corn in. But that wasn't the way they did it at those times. And so the scripture says that the years of plenty came on, and the land brought forth with handfuls. So the scripture says, God so blessed the land that it grew so good and so much an abundance. They never had it like that. There was plenty. It says that Joseph gathered corn as the sand on the seashore, that he could not number it, was beyond counting anymore. So much they had. Now this is what Joseph had interpreted, and it came to be true. That's why the king had a lot of confidence in Joseph. He hadn't told them a fable. He hadn't told them a lie. No, he told them that this would take place, and it did take place. And so in those 7 years, there was plenty to eat and to drink in the land of Egypt, and plenty left over. And so after these 7 years had gone by, then came 7 years of famine. And when the famine started to hit Egypt, this was the country which was the granary for all the other countries round about it. This country they came to, they were fed from Egypt because it was very fertile in this respect by the River Nile. And now this famine not only was in the land of Egypt, but it was throughout all the lands. All the lands, probably even Abyssinia, where it rained every day, there was no more rain because the river dried up. The river didn't overflow its banks anymore, and they could not grow like they did before. And there was a dearth in the country. In Palestine and Abyssinia and many other countries round about Egypt, they all were hit with this terrible famine. And now the people in Egypt, they had been told that this was going to come, and some of them, in their wisdom probably, and being prudent, they likewise did like Joseph did. When they had some extra, they stored it up. They knew that there was a famine coming. And so probably the first 2 years or so, they were helped out by the people that lived in Egypt and that had extra. But it soon got to the point that all Egypt was famished. There was no more bread in Egypt. And now the Egyptians, they came to Pharaoh and they said, "Give us bread, for we have none to eat." And he said, "Go to Joseph and do as he tells you to do." This was the direction that Pharaoh gave unto the people of Egypt. My time is gone, my hearers. Next week, we'll take up the subject from this point, the Lord willing. May he bless the feeble instruction we have received out of it to our souls, for our profit, and for our eternal welfare. That's all for today.